Welcome to the Amateur MILF Society, a podcast about the highs and lows of mothering in the modern age. We're your hosts, Rosie and Sinead, and we are just trying.
Just trying.
Join us on a journey from positive pregnancy tests through to school and beyond as we try to untangle all those complicated thoughts and feelings that come when you decide to push a baby out of your vagina. Other birthing methods are available. We are average non-famous mums who live average non-famous lives, although if we get famous, we're not complaining. And we will get ourselves not only a second home, but a third home. So we'll have a second home in central London and a third home in rural Ireland.
And a fourth home in Mexico.
Yes, and a fourth home in Mexico, because we do like Mexico. Yeah, that's true. So we'll get famous and have four homes.
Yeah, that's assuming that we're going to keep our home in Leicester.
Okay, so if we didn't keep our home in Leicester... I love how I said home then, like we live together. Our respective houses in Leicester.
Yeah.
What would be your number one? Where would you live? And what would be your second and third home?
Oh, my base. I think my base would be London.
I think my base would be London. I would...
Oh, you know what we should do? Like, Helena Bonham Carter and Tim Burton had two houses next door to each other that interconnected.
That's cute.
That when they were married.
Why did they do that when they were married? Why didn't they live together?
Maybe they just... didn't want to see each other all the time.
Well, they clearly didn't want to see each other at all towards the end. Did they?
But that was their living arrangement, and
yeah,
I think that's what we should do.
Yeah. Sort of half communal, but we have our own space.
Yeah,
that's cute. So we'll do that in, what were you saying, Islington?
In Islington, yeah.
Islington.
Around the corner from Eilish, there's a fucking excellent place for bread.
There's excellent place for bread everywhere in London, Sinead.
A bakery is what I meant to say.
A bakery, an excellent place for bread. That's what they used to call them until they found the word bakery.
There's an excellent place for bread.
What is the excellent place for bread called?
Fuck if I know, Rosie.
Is it hipster bread or is it like...
Oh, it's hipster bread.
Old school bread.
It is so delicious.
Yeah. All of it's gorgeous.
Mm.
The reason we're mentioning London is because we both went to London separately. You went to see your friend for the weekend.
I did.
I took Ramona for 3 days. And I just love London. So I do keep saying to Dave, like, if he gets offered a job that we should move there, he would hate it so much. But I want to live in London so bad.
You know why I would really love to live in London?
Why?
It's because public transport... is so good there.
Oh my God, I can't get my head around it. You're like, I was in Hackney, and like on about four different occasions I needed to get from Hackney to somewhere in London, and you type it in and it's like, get this number bus.
Yeah.
Bang, you're there.
I love the Tube as well.
The Tube
is a great place for people watch.
Oh, I love the Tube so bad. I love the smell of it. I love the feel of the air when you're walking up the stairs.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'd get sick of it if I lived there, but I love it.
It's not nice during rush hour, but
no.
As a novelty, like, no. It's great. I just fucking love it, and I love how easy it is.
Yeah,
how easy it is to get everywhere.
Yeah,
and how like reliable.
Yeah, it so
is.
so reliable.
And I love when you get to go up the stairs and you get to sit in the top front seat of the bus.
Yeah,
it's just wonderful.
It's gorgeous.
That is the number one reason why I would move to London in a heartbeat, is
just
because
like,
of public transport links.
Just knocking about the public transport.
And you would never, ever have to like get in a car.
No, never. You wouldn't need a car at all.
No.
Oh, I love it. Love London so much.
As certified passenger princess of this podcast,
you wouldn't be a passenger princess anymore. You'd just be one of us.
I'd just be one of you.
You'd be one of the masses.
Yeah. But... there is a big reason as to why I would struggle. I mean, I don't really wear sandals anyway, but I get the ick so badly if I see someone walking the streets of the Old Smoke.
Mean streets of London.
In flip flops. Mm. What do you mean your toes are 3 millimetres away from the dirty pavement?
Would you wear anything open toed at all? Or would you have to be completely... Would you wear, for example, a Doc Martin sandal?
If I had socks on.
Okay, you're going so... Okay, but all your socks would be filthy.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I would wear sandals at all.
You just wouldn't wear sandals.
No.
No one wears... Not many people wear sandals in London. They're all wearing what look to me to be like...
New Balance? New Balance or Sambas?
It's New Balance, Sambas, or if you're not cool, like a really shitty pair of Caramore trainers. But they're the so the ones that are wearing the shitty Caramore trainers, I noticed, are the ones that probably work like near Liverpool Street. So they're wearing like a black tie and a pencil skirt and a blazer.
And walking shoes.
A hot pink trainer.
Yeah.
They're the ones who mean business.
Yeah.
Like, you don't see that anywhere else.
No.
Do you?
But in fairness, like Leicester is also quite grubby and I don't think I would wear, like, have my feet out in Leicester either.
I really hate to tell you this, Sinead, but I quite like having a grubby foot. Makes me feel at one with nature, even if it's in a city centre and it's the like literally the opposite of nature.
I quite like having dirty feet if I've like been out walking in the grass.
Yeah, or like sand.
I don't want the filth of the masses.
Yeah, that's true.
On my feet.
Yeah, no.
Thank you very much.
No, you're right, actually. I don't often wear a sandal.
No, neither do I.
I think Yeah, and a sock. Always a sock with a sandal, I think.
I'm just a diehard trainer girly.
Yeah, I love trainers. Big fan.
Or anyway. Doc Martin girly in the winter.
So we've been off for a bit, haven't we?
We have.
Because summer holidays happened and we forgot how hard work it is.
Yeah.
And we just sort of went on another hiatus.
What's
happened to my mouth? This happened to me last week. I was doing a virtual tutorial. So it's like, this is paid work. So I was doing a virtual craft tutorial that's live. And this happened to my throat and I was in my office and I had no water and I just had to cough my way through it. It was so bad.
Oh no, Rosie.
I was just like coughing. I was coughing and then going, I'm so sorry. And then I'd say like one sentence and then be like, sorry, I'm going to have to cough again.
It's the consumption.
And then at the end, I had to just apologise and be like, I'm so sorry for all the coughing. I think it's hay fever. I mean, I think it genuinely is hay fever, but it was so bad. I don't know how people got all the way through. I don't think anyone was watching by the end because it must have been very annoying.
Aww.
Anyway, yes, we've been on another impromptu hiatus because summer holidays.
Summer holidays.
We thought we'd get through it, but we didn't.
I mean, we've got through it. We're all still alive, me, you and all the respective children.
Yeah, we still exist. We're just, I'd say, and we will go into this, Sinead, we will mention this, but I would say currently my patience levels are the same as day 5 of Ireland, but like all the time.
Yeah.
Like 24 hours a day, that's what my patience level is. And let me tell you, that patience level is...
Hanging on by a thread.
Yes, hanging by a thread. Yeah. Before we talk about Ireland, which is what we're going to talk about today.
That's the theme of this week's podcast.
So much great things. So many great things.
So much great things.
So much great things. So much great things. So much to say. What a joy. What is your week in a sentence?
My week in a sentence is that in a thrilling turn of events, I might actually be the new technical maestro of this podcast.
Oh, I think you might be. I just left you to it for a bit there, didn't I?
Mm-hmm. I didn't think I was capable of it. For context, you might, dear listener, hear a marked improvement in the sound quality of this podcast.
There's no weird fuzzing sounds.
There's no one being, no dead bodies being dragged down a hall outside.
Not that we know of, because we can't hear them, because these microphones are so good.
We decided to invest in new microphones and the sound is lovely. So delicious.
So lovely.
And we get to sit holding them attached to various kitchen utensils.
Yeah, we've not gone full tech. We have got spatulas and fish slices for microphone holders, but I mean, I'm happy with it.
I am too.
I'm comfortable. I'm not craning my neck.
Yeah, usually when me and Rosie record, we sit side by side. And we have to turn our heads the entire time to, like, gaze into each other's eyes.
But also we both have to sit next to one microphone as well.
And, like, lean into it. It's
quite awkward.
Yeah. It's been... I think our recording setup has seen many trials and tribulations.
It has, hasn't it? We've been through... There's definitely, like, a journey.
Yeah. We've been on a journey. But I think this might be, dare I say...
Zen.
The end point of our journey.
Yeah,
we've reached nirvana.
We've reached nirvana of the microphone world.
We could get in bed together and record a podcast together.
I want to do that when it's cold. What was I going to say?
But yeah, I'm really proud of myself because it took a while to get it all set up.
You watched YouTube videos.
Worked some stuff out. Resetted factory settings.
resetted factory settings. Yeah.
I need to reset my own factory settings.
You've
obviously
gone back to not being the roadie. Just with that sentence.
I've been demoted.
You've been demoted. I'm in charge again.
I plugged and unplugged things. And now we have sound.
I'm really proud. I'm really proud of you. It sounds great. Well done.
Thank you.
Good effort. And these microphones are sick. Thank you, Rode.
Thank you, Rode.
Just so you know.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored, unfortunately. But I don't remember like checking the link when you said you were going to buy these. I think I just left you to it and was like, I trust your instinct.
Yeah.
And your instinct was correct because all of the sound equipment we used at university was Rode. They're the number
top
one.
Top banana.
So Rode is definitely the brand you go for recording equipment. And Bose is the brand you use for listening equipment.
Cool.
Just for anyone that's wondering.
For anyone that wants recommendations.
From Rodie Rosie.
Rosie the Rodie.
She knows her shit. I don't have any other mic. I don't use headphones unless they're Bose because I'm a prick. Anyway. My week in a sentence. So my week in a sentence is something that happened to me today. I had to take myself upstairs for a lie down because my children are trying my patience and I've done a very, very long run. And I just had my phone on like Spotify shuffle. So it was just playing like a random playlist shuffled. But at one point, Dave came upstairs and he sat at the end of the bed and he looked at me and he just said, Rosie, you're listening to Radiohead. I just wanted to check if you're okay.
That's so funny.
And I was like, Radiohead just came on. I didn't play it.
It's all right. I'm fine.
I'm fine. I just needed a few minutes. I just need to close my eyes for 10 minutes. And it just so happens that a very sad Radiohead song is on. I'm okay, but thank you for checking. Which I thought was really cute. But that, for me, is a great sentence. Rosie, you're listening to Radiohead. Is everything okay?
See, mine would be, Sinead, you've been listening to the same Hozier album for 27 hours straight. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah. I mean, I think it would take me longer than 27 hours to check up on you if you were listening to Hozier. Because I just think...
Oh, no, that's just what she usually listens to.
Or like you're having a particularly amorous night with yourself, you know?
No, but the thing is, like, Hozier is sexy and sad.
Sexy and sad. Yeah, Radiohead are definitely not sexy and sad. They are just sad.
In a Venn diagram where one circle is sad, the other circle is horny.
Yeah.
Hozier is the dead in the middle.
Can we do a Venn diagram where Radiohead are one side?
Radiohead is sad.
Yeah, but what about... So hang on. Let me
who think. Is the horniest musical artist?
I can't believe where my brain went to. I can't believe where my brain went to because it's so untrue. It's so ridiculous. I don't know if I can say it out loud.
Say it.
My brain went to Ricky Martin. I don't know why.
Ricky Martin is not the horniest musical artist.
Okay, Cisco? Oh, no. What's his face? Enrique Iglesias. He was pretty horny, wasn't he?
He was quite... You know what? I think there are hornier.
What about... they have to be sort of all the time horny, don't they? I was going to say yeah. Slave for You by Britney is a pretty horny
song,
isn't
every
it?
Single
but
song.
She's not always horny. No. Sometimes she's mad.
Yeah.
Or being held against her will by her own parents. I can't think.
I'm going to search horny in Spotify.
Well, it's just going to come up with the song, isn't it?
One of the suggested playlists is Disgustingly Horny Hozier.
Okay, so maybe he is top then.
Yeah, but he's horny and sad.
So we want just horny to add to this Venn
just
diagram.
The Weeknd, quite horny.
Yeah. Oh, what about, do you remember that Bruno Mars song, Gorilla? That was very horny. That was pretty good. But I don't think, sometimes he's quite chirpy, isn't he?
Motley Crue.
Little Bruni. Hey?
Motley Crue. Yeah, they're incredibly horny.
Are they?
Yeah.
What? Why? Are they?
Yeah, well, I watched the biopic and that was horny.
Oh, no, I've got it. It's The Doors, Jim Morrison. Jim Morrison famously was getting blowjobs while singing, being recorded on some of his albums. Definitely, definitely Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
So we're going to go like something like Break On Through to the Other Side or something like that.
Yeah.
So that, and then we've got Hozier for Sad and...
Sad and Horny.
And then Radiohead
for Just Sad.
Yeah, definitely. Are we going definitely Radiohead for Saddest? Because I think you could probably go Sadder.
What songs do they play at funerals?
It's usually Angels by
Robbie Williams.
I think he also sits on Horny and Sad.
Yeah, he sits in the Horny Sad axis.
So we've got Hozier and
Robbie Williams.
Then we've got Radiohead for Sad, but we're struggling to find lots of other sad
Rosie,
ones.
Please, I need you to make a graphic of the Horny Sad continuum.
Yeah, I'm going to. But we need, what about Lou Bega? Is it Lou Bega? Mambo number 5?
Yeah, that's quite horny. Saddest songs
ever.
Extremely gut-wrenching sad songs is a playlist on Spotify.
Yeah. What have we got on there?
I don't know any of these songs.
Read them out to me.
Oh,
what about Sinead O'Connor?
Oh, yeah, Sinead O'Connor is sad.
She's very sad.
Sinead O'Connor adds another element to the Venn diagram because she intersects sad with incredibly Irish.
Yeah, which Hozier also kind of fits into, right?
Yeah.
Hang on.
Oh my God.
This isn't a Venn diagram anymore. This is like some kind of pie chart graph. What is going to be part of this graphic will be the lady looking at all the equations. Because there's something going on, isn't there?
The man looking manic in the eyes.
With the things on the walls. That's what we're thinking now. I love this. We were just going to talk about our holiday, but this is something special.
Saddest songs ever made. Johnny Cash.
Yeah, but so I think Johnny Cash also classes as horny, because he was pretty horny for June Carter, wasn't he?
Everybody Hurts by R.E.M. is on this.
Oh, they're very sad, aren't they?
Yeah, they are in pure R.E.M. sad.
Yeah, they're in Radiohead category for sure.
Radiohead, obviously, it makes multiple appearances on this playlist.
Maybe it's just Radiohead then.
Death Cab for Cutie is in this.
Okay. I didn't know they were sad.
Neither did I. I don't know. I don't know if I put Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. Fleetwood Mac.
Pretty sad. Sad and horny. That Rumours album is definitely the epitome of sad and horny, isn't it?
Yeah. That epitomises sad and horny.
Love this for us. We'll workshop this because I like this. What we need is for people to let us know what they think is sad musicians, horny musicians.
And sad and horny musicians.
And if you want to add into the Irish contingency at any point, that's also fine.
That's fine. Ronan Keating. Where are we putting him?
He's not sad though, is he? Because he was on a roller coaster. See, he was having a great time.
Life is a roller coaster. Just gotta ride it.
He's never sad. So do we have a happy side as well? Mm. Do we have a happy... happy, Irish, and horny.
You know what? I'd say you say it best when you say nothing at all. That's quite a sad song.
Oh, yeah, that is quite sad.
Ronan Keating is unfortunately incapable of horny.
Yeah, because that's he's like a Ken doll.
There's nothing down there. He's smooth.
I don't know if you say it best when you say nothing at all is sad, or if he's just like... wrapped his wife's face up or something, put duct tape over her mouth and just go, "Will you shut up?" And then wrote a song about it. Stop whinging. Anyway.
We need to do further research into this.
We will. I can't wait.
But please do keep your eyes peeled for the sad, horny continuum.
Yeah,
coming soon on Amateur MILF social media.
And I'm going to do it so the Venn diagram is three circles and then they're the colours of the Irish flag. Or, oh my God, even better, I'll make the Venn diagram a clover. Right?
Shamrock.
Sorry, not fucking hell.
Shamrock.
That one. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, shall we talk about our holiday in Ireland?
Yeah,
now,
I think we
now
should.
I've just insulted the entire nation, but it's okay because I'm back now. This episode is just going to be chronological
recap of our
amazing holiday, because it was so much fun.
It was great. We had such a lovely time.
So many funny things happened. And I want to go back, please. And so does Ramona and Lola and Dave. They all want to go back to Uncle Martin's.
Oh,
and they all call him Uncle Martin constantly.
That's so cute.
So cute. We love Uncle Martin. He's the
we
best.
We do love Uncle Martin. Big shout out to Uncle Martin.
I mean, I don't think he's listening, but Uncle Martin is the one. So Martin is your uncle.
Yes.
And he let you and Darcy and me and Dave and Ramona and Lola, who are of no relation to any of you, come and stay in his house for 5 days.
He did, yeah.
And at no cost.
Yeah.
We bought him some Guinness. But I mean, what a lovely man.
Oh, he is just, he's an absolute gem.
Such a lovely man. I can't get, like, I could just keep saying it over and over again and it wouldn't, like, I just, it's so lovely.
I think it is, it's literally impossible not to like my Uncle Martin. Yeah, he's so just nice. Wonderful.
He's lovely. Lovely, funny, nice. Like, the first thing that he did when we got out of the car was just came and gave us all a massive cuddle.
And then Darcy was sick on the pavement.
And then Darcy, yeah, her, the way that Darcy said hello to us was by throwing up in front of us. So that was fun. But yeah, he just gave us a massive hug. And then Lola was like immediately a little bit wary of Jimmy the dog because Jimmy's quite big. So he scooped her up and was like holding her up until she felt a bit better about it. So lovely. Loveliest man on the planet. Well done, Uncle Martin. So, for context, we should explain why Darcy was throwing up on the driveway.
Yeah. Let's start at the very beginning, shall we? So,
yes.
Rosie and Dave flew into Dublin Airport. My family live in Shannon, which is on, like, not far from the West Coast, which is about a 2.5 hour drive away from Dublin. So, me and Darcy got the bus to meet Rosie and Dave. And Darcy decided that it would be her first ever time getting travel sick.
I think this is the age that it like shows itself.
Manifests.
I think so, yeah.
So we were on the bus and then she was sick into a sandwich bag and that was stressful. Yes. But it was fine and I thought that was it because it was literally just a little like...
Yeah.
And then that was that. We get to Dublin, go through our whole day, which we'll fill you in about, and then get the coach back, which... She passed out before the coach even left Dublin.
She slept for most of it, didn't she?
We got to the penultimate stop.
Oh, no.
And then she was sick all over the place.
What was the penultimate stop? It was...
University of Limerick.
Oh, yeah.
And we got
of
off
you had to,
in Limerick.
Yeah.
And then she was fine.
Yeah, so she was sick in Limerick.
Yeah.
And then Martin picked you up.
Yeah.
Fine.
Fine.
Absolutely fine. Then we rock up. In the car.
Sick on the pavement.
Sick on the pavement. Then fine for a couple of hours.
Then fine. Then she goes to bed and walks into the kitchen with a bowl of vomit.
Yeah.
Which I proceeded to then spill all over my brand new pajama bottoms.
That was like for me, because I was so tired, because we had to get up at 4:30 to get our plane to Dublin. So it had been a really long day. We'd all had a good night's sleep, though, so that was great. I was, like, so pleased when I woke up and I was like, all of us have had at least 7 hours sleep. Perfect. But still a really long day. So the point that Darcy came out with the bowl of sick was probably about 9 p.m.
Yeah, tipping point.
So I was, like, not all there. I was quite fizzy with kind of, like, tiredness. And when you spilled that sick over you, I was just, like, everything was in slow motion. I think it felt a little bit like I was on ketamine. I was just like, what's happening? There's now sick all over Sinead's leg.
But then she went to bed and she was absolutely fine the next day.
Yeah, completely fine. Because we were worried, weren't we? Because she'd been sick like quite long after the coach. We were like, oh no, maybe it's a bug. We're all fucked.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. She just had a bit of like...
Just decided that day that she was just going to be sick the whole time.
Yeah, fine.
But whatever.
So we went to, the first thing we did in Dublin was we went to the Emigration Museum.
We did, which is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, I'm
sorry. Before we just start discussing the Emigration Museum, maybe we should discuss the fact that you were like, Sinead, why is everyone in Dublin wearing an orange t-shirt?
Oh yeah, we had to drive from where we picked our car up from into Dublin. And we were like, as we started to drive in, it was like quite bad traffic and every single car had like white and orange flags on their car, and I was like, oh, I forgot, they're very patriotic here, aren't they? Very patriotic, and they love a flag and they love a banner. And I was texting you, and then I was like, actually, this traffic is worse than I think it should be. And everyone, whoa, hang on a minute. There's loads of people stood outside pubs wearing orange tops. Is this normal? I mean, it could just be normal Ireland. It could just be how it is, but I'm not sure.
So I text Martin, like, Martin, is there a sport?
Is there a sport happening?
Is there a sport happening in Dublin today? And he said, yes, the All-Ireland Gaelic football finals are on today. And it's, I think it was Galway, who were the burgundy t-shirt team.
Yeah, playing.
And Armagh, who are the orange t-shirt team.
So essentially, it was like the equivalent of us going into London on the day of like the FA Cup final at Wembley.
Yeah.
That's basically what was happening.
Yeah, pretty much. Quite a lot of a lower level, though, because I don't think that...
I don't think the stands have that many... I know what you mean. But there was a lot of... orange t-shirt people roaming the place. So that was a good like opening for me of like how Ireland kind of celebrate sport.
And just before we met up at the museum, this little kind of weird car blasting Wolf Tones drove down the main road.
I remember that weird like handmade cart something or other. So yeah, that was fun hearing about that. And then we went into the Emigration Museum, which is like so well done.
Oh my God, it's excellent.
The sort of like interactive digital graphics are insane.
Like the aesthetics of that museum are unparalleled.
Unbelievable. I will post, we posted our first video, which was like a kind of just a little like snippet of our time in Ireland.
Set to Song of the Summer.
Song of the Year.
Favourite by Fontaines DC.
Did they hit the Venn diagram at any point? I don't think they're...
Irish.
They're Irish, but I don't think they're sad enough and they're not horny enough. They're just very good.
Yeah,
they'll
excellent.
They'll maybe sit somewhere. Excellent band. So that was like the first snippet, but I am going to make a video that is dedicated to Bunratty, which we'll talk about soon.
Yes.
But maybe I can also make a little one of the interactive graphics of the Emigration Museum because they are top notch.
Yeah.
I can't get my head around how some of them worked. So if you are visiting Dublin, get yourself to the Emigration Museum. It's amazing.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's so worth a visit if you're going to Dublin.
It's great.
I would go so far as to say that it is more worth a visit than the Guinness Storehouse.
I think it is if you've got kids.
Yeah.
Which we do.
Yeah.
And they like running around and you get like a little passport that you get to stamp in every little room.
Which was the only thing that our kids cared about.
The only thing they wanted to do, but we enjoyed ourselves.
Oh, other than the river dance.
Yeah, they did a bit of river dancing. That was fun. I have lots of good footage of that.
But my favourite part of being in the Emigration... Actually, I've got a couple of favourite highlights from the Emigration Museum. One of them is that all of the benches, so you can sit down on benches because it's quite like multimedia.
Yes.
So they've got like video and stuff. So anytime there's like a video playing, there's benches in the side to sit on and watch the video, which is great from an accessibility point of view.
It is, yes.
But all of the benches have like cut, like almost like fake graffiti carved into them.
Yeah, they've all been hand carved with like writing and pictures
and
stuff,
it's like
they?
Great. It's like little excerpts of literature or little kind of, it's just gorgeous.
It's really like well thought out. And actually I would say that about most of the places we went to in Ireland. It's like they go the extra mile with like attention to detail and making it accessible for all people. The thing about Ireland is like they actually care about children.
Yes.
Unlike here.
Yeah.
Like they cater for kids. They accept that kids are going to make a mess or do you know what I mean? Like it feels like you can walk into any place in Ireland with your kids, apart from pubs, and they're like ready to help you out and cater for it.
Yeah.
Whereas here it's kind of the opposite. It's like you're okay taking kids in pubs and they can make a mess, but anywhere else you're going to get huffs and puffs and side glares.
Mm-hmm.
So that was quite nice. So yeah, Emigration Museum.
My other favourite bit was walking from room to room. Rosie looks very, very pensive. So I say, you okay, mate?
Oh God, I forgot about this. I forgot. Thank you for remembering this because I completely forgot about saying this.
And what did you say, Rosie?
I can't. You'll say it better.
Rosie said, yeah, I was just like, thinking about how, you know, people moving away from Ireland, you know, it's had such a big impact on the culture, and it's like a really, you know, important thing that has happened throughout the history of the country. And I said, yes, Rosie, it's the Emigration Museum. People moving away from Ireland.
I'd completely forgotten the whole concept of the museum. I've just taken it at face value. So I was just taking all this information in, going, wow, it's such a big theme, isn't it? Emigration. Such a big theme. Massive theme in this museum is emigration. Oh, hang on. We're in the Emigration Museum. That's why it's a big theme, because that's what it's about. I just sort of like, I'd started to just see it as a museum of like the history of Ireland. And then not until about halfway through had it dawned on me that it's the fucking Emigration Museum.
I thought it was absolutely hysterical. It was so funny.
And I'd really thought about it as well. I was like feeling but really
I could see how deeply you were thinking. Yeah, so that's why I was like, are you okay?
Wow, it's such a big like, you know, personality trait of the Irish people. Oh no, it's the Emigration Museum. That's why there's so much stuff about emigration on all these screens, because it's the Emigration Museum. Clues in the name, you idiot. Yeah, great. I forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me. That was really funny. So we left the Emigration Museum and then we headed into central Dublin.
We did. We went to O'Connell Street to get on the open top bus.
We got on the open top bus.
I told you the story about the spire.
What did you tell me about the spire?
Do you remember the spire?
I do remember the spire, but I mainly remember what our tour guide told us, because he was fucking brilliant.
He was great.
He was amazing, and we need to talk about him and also the Trump flag.
Yes.
But before that, tell
that
us the
guy,
spire.
But no, but also, I'll tell that story, but to remember the man.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm really sorry for the people that are listening. We are going into granular detail on this trip.
But we'll get more sporadic. So when we were walking to the bus stop, we walked past a guy. Well, it was a group of people, wasn't it?
Four people.
They all had massive suitcases. And he had like a really mad mullet, didn't he?
Yeah, the ginger, quite long mullet.
And like he was dressed quite oddly as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all for dressing oddly, but it does make this next bit much funnier.
But he said something along the lines of, yes, I would be having a good trip if it wasn't for you three idiots.
But the way he did it, it was so like, it was so animated that we were like, was that street theatre? We were genuinely like, was that real? Because he was like, oh yeah, we'd be fine, you idiots. Like he was properly going in, like laying in, but he was obviously the sort of person that doesn't usually shout at people.
Yeah.
So it felt very kind of like...
weird.
It was weird. It was weird, wasn't it? And we were like, oh, that was weird. But then he stormed past us,
yeah,
didn't he? So we were like, oh no, that was real. Yeah, no, no.
Yeah,
he
and I
just
turned
had
to
enough of his family.
I turned to Rosie and I was like, that's us and our three idiots.
Yeah, yeah, that's us. That's how we feel. We just don't like.
We're not verbalising that.
We internalise it. So then we got on the open top bus. We drove past the spire. So the funny story about the spire is,
well, the spire for context is like a big kind of monument in central Dublin, and it's just like a big
needle.
Metal needle.
Yes, massive.
So
really big.
My story about the spire is that I was in Dublin with my cousin Chloe a few years ago, and we'd been out to a bar on the riverfront, and we were walking back to our accommodation, and we were quite a few drinks deep at this point.
I can imagine.
And I said to Chloe, oh, look at that big, bright, beautiful star in the sky. It's the brightest star I've ever seen. And Chloe went, babe, that's the light on top of the spire. And it tickled me so much that I was literally laid on the pavements of Dublin City.
I hope you weren't wearing Birkenstocks.
I wasn't. I was wearing an incredibly short play suit, though, rolling around practically
rolling
naked.
Around. The light is on the top of the spire to stop planes from crashing into it, isn't it?
Yes.
You thought it was the brightest star in Ireland.
I know.
How cute. So can you describe what the tour guide said about the spire?
Oh, what did the tour guide
I think he said something along the lines of, some people call it the spire. I like to call it €2 million waste of money.
Yeah, like a waste of €4 million.
That's it. I like to call it a waste of €4 million. He was brilliant.
He was
very
great.
Funny. He joked about everything. I love the way that he documented every single person he nearly ran over.
Yeah, he was
that
just
was
like,
great.
Oh, that's great. Just put your child in front of my bus.
Yeah, I really loved that for him. He was wonderful. But the best bit was him pointing out a weirdo on the street and being like, oh, look at this fella. And it was a man just stood in the middle of Dublin holding up a massive Donald Trump flag.
Yeah, like go Donald Trump.
Waving it around. Woohoo. And we were like, wow, that's embarrassing. What a weirdo. And then what happened, Sinead?
A gang of American people that were in front of us, like
maybe right in front of us as well.
Yeah, maybe four American, like Republican weirdos were like, woo!
They stood up.
Yeah, they stood up. And
we were on the top deck and they stood up and were cheering him and like,
yeah,
clapping
and like
and
clapping.
Whooping.
And me and Rosie turned around to each other and we were shook. We were like,
we both looked at each other. I think both of us tried to put our fist in our hands. We were like, what the fuck? We were like, oh my God. Yeah, that was wild. And they did it twice.
Absolutely
we went
insane.
Back the other way, didn't we?
Yeah.
And then they got up again and started whooping and cheering. And we were just like, sorry, what?
Who are we on this bus ride?
And then
with?
We got off the bus because we were like, we can't live with this.
And then we went to one of my favourite places in Dublin, Wow Burger, for garlic butter fries.
That place. So it's like it's a pub with a basement that's like a diner.
Yeah.
And you buy the most amazing burgers and chicken and fries. And the garlic butter fries are insane. Wow.
So I okay. first had them, I think, in like 2019. And I think about them
all the time.
At least.
So good.
At least thrice a week.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah. If you are in Dublin, go to Wild Burger and get some.
They're so garlicky.
Get all the food. All the food was amazing.
It was great food. Great service. And I saw the most monstrously tall man I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the tall man. Yeah, he must have been at like 7 foot or something, right?
Yeah. But like, he wasn't one of those tall people that you see and you're like, oh, they're really tall. Because like, normally if they're really tall, they're really skinny.
Yeah, he was just, yeah.
He was
solid.
Tall, but like in like shaped and proportioned like a normal person.
Yeah, that was weird.
So because I was stood next to him when I went to get my food and I literally turned and as a woman that is nearly 6 foot tall myself, I was like,
what's happening?
And I went back to the table. I was like, oh my God, look at that man. Yeah, the tallest man I've ever
seen. Also, the ceilings are quite low in the basement. So it made him look
like oversized.
Yeah. I think that sums up our day in Dublin, doesn't it? Because then we drove back. We had the sick issue.
Yeah.
And then we had...
We all went to bed.
We did drink some wine and then went to bed.
Yeah.
And then the next day, we had a lovely day in Shannon, didn't we?
We did.
We spent our day in Shannon, which is where we were staying. We went to we frequented the parks.
We did.
Oh my God, the parks are amazing in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And the park's great.
I don't know if they're that good everywhere else, but the parks in Shannon
parks
are lovely.
Parks in Shannon are brilliant.
Tell the listeners about Dave's highlight of the park.
Oh my God, the highlight of the park. Okay, so just for like a bit of context, there's two parts. So there's like a play area.
Kids play, like play area.
And then
park.
You literally cross one road and you're into like the massive play, like the big park.
Yeah.
Which is beautiful. It's like surrounded by trees. There's loads of greenery. There's like a bandstandy thing in the middle with rocks that you can climb on. So they're like fake pebbles, but massive. That
yeah.
You can climb on. Every single surface has been built so that you can also have fun on it.
Yes.
They're all supposed to be sort of seating areas.
Or have a sleep.
Have a little lie down.
There's
like
no
the
hostile
did.
Architecture.
No. There's like lady lying down on a yoga mat.
Lady took a yoga mat and a pillow to the park
Why
for
not?
A little rest.
You can. But everything's built in such a way that you can play on it, you can jump on it, you can sit on it, you can lie on it. It's great. There's a massive park on the edge, which has got a huge, like, it's all like wooden and ropey.
Yeah, like climbing frame, zip wire.
Zip wire, obstacle course, that sort of thing. Love that. And then there's like a massive area for bike ramps, which actually me and the kids just ran up and down.
The skating board park.
So you just run up and down the ramps. That was great. And then we found a little contraption that Dave was
I
so
thought it was a
of.
Phone charge.
Oh my God, this thing
was like,
incredible.
Oh my God, is that a charging point for my
and
phone?
Lovely. And then Dave's brain just went, it just like malfunctioned.
I could see
excitement.
How happy he was.
Oh, it made him so happy. So joyous. So this was it was like a puncture repair kit, but it's always there. So it was like a tall metal frame and it had like an air pump in it so you could pump your tyres up.
Yeah.
And then it had other things.
Like little tools, like a little spanner and a little...
Loads of tools hanging off it that you could use to change your inner tube or your wheel. Like
fix your bike in some way.
Fix things. I'm probably missing loads of stuff and Dave's going to be really mad at me because he'll be like, you forgot about the best bit. But like, it's just like a solid, permanent structure that can help you fix things with wheels. Yeah. Like not just because it had pictures of bikes on it, but also like push chairs and then like scooters and things like that. So you could fix anything with it and it's always there and no one's fucking vandalized it. It just stands there nicely. And if you're ever in trouble, you go and use its multi-tool thing.
Capabilities.
So good.
So good.
Wonderful. We went into Shannon Town Centre, which is...
Which, by the way, is apparently the largest shopping centre in County Clare.
Shut up. Shut up. Yeah. Shannon Town Centre. Shannon Town Centre is like...
There are maybe 10 shops.
Yeah. I mean, the shopping centre is pretty big, to be fair. It's
you know what I really like about Shannon Town Centre? Mm. To give it its dues. I love the art, like, gallery thing on the walls of the shopping centre.
Got a wall where local people can put their paintings up for sale. We can have a little look. It's like a little exhibition space. That was cute. There was lots of nice paintings. Lots of crows. Oh, no, not then weren't crows, were they?
Rooks. Rooks.
So Ireland, Old County Clare, seems to have a rook problem. Not a problem, because I love rooks. But they're fucking everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah.
There's rooks everywhere. They're on the next, was it the next day or the day after when we went to the farm?
Mm.
They followed me around. They were following me. I had a murder of rooks following me. It was really weird. I have footage to back this up. So we had a lovely day in Shannon. Is that when we just had dinner at home? You just made some really lovely pasta.
Oh yeah, I made tomato pasta that day. That was quite a chill day. I think after the trials and tribulations of taking three kids to a big city.
Yeah.
We just needed a day to kind of like decompress.
Now, Sinead, I can't remember which day it was, but was it this day when the biggest incident occurred or was it a different day? The incident that happened within the perimeter of the building.
Oh, that is
probably the scariest moment of my life.
I think it must have been that day.
It has to have been that day.
Because we weren't in long enough any of the other days.
No, we weren't. We weren't in long enough.
Oh my God, I still can't believe this happened.
We lost Lola. We lost Lola and I had my hand on the 999 buttons of my phone ready to ring the police because I was that convinced she'd gone. Like, she was gone. Yeah. It was about 40 minutes that we were looking for her, I reckon. I mean, it was probably less, but it felt like an eternity. I would say it
was at the very least 20 minutes.
At the least.
It could have been up to 4, I don't know, but...
I think that Darcy's comment sums up the entire thing. Because at one point she came up to me and she was like, are you stressed, Rosie? I was like, yes, I'm very stressed. And she went, this is very stressful. This is really, really stressful. And actually, Ramona has told every single family member that will listen about this incident. And in every single time she repeats it, she goes, me and Darcy were very stressed. It was very stressful. So what happened, Sinead?
So the kids, were we in the kitchen?
Yes.
Me, you and Dave were sat in the kitchen.
We were sat in the kitchen right next to the main door and the only main door that is open. We were sat right next to it.
Yeah.
For context.
So the kids are all playing hide and seek and Martin's got a lovely bungalow with a lovely big garden.
Massive garden.
But Martin's also got three dogs. So the garden is fully enclosed and fully secure.
The gates either side are massive and locked and no one can get in or out.
Yeah.
There's like no access whatsoever. The only access is through the main door.
Which we
sat in front of.
We were... letting the kids play hide and seek.
Yeah, we were just sat having a relax and a chat, weren't we?
It kept them out of our hair. And didn't the big girls only give Lola like 15 seconds to hide?
That was the worst part about this whole thing, right? Is that the big girls were going to let Lola hide and then they were both going to find her. They came into the kitchen and they did that thing that six-year-olds do, where as soon as she disappeared, they were like, come in ready or not?
Yeah.
And then they ran away and I seem to remember one of us going, oh, come on, girls, play fair. They didn't need to.
They didn't need to.
They didn't need to play fair, did they?
No, Lola was running rings around them because she fucking disappeared off the face of this planet.
Literally disappeared. And it wasn't, it must have been about 40 minutes, think, Sinead, because they came back after about, they came back and went, we can't find her. And we went, oh, shut up, go and find her.
Yeah.
And then another 15 minutes later, they come back and they're like, no, we can't find her. She is gone.
So we get up and start looking like, oh, these children are idiots. Like, they haven't found her. So we've checked all the places. Like, all the places.
All the places.
Been through the house.
She's gone.
Still no Lola.
She's gone.
We're looking in the garden. We're looking behind the bins. We're looking in bushes.
We're looking like, in places she couldn't be. We're looking in places she can't access.
In the kitchen cupboards.
Yeah.
And we're in the drawer where all the saucepans live.
The worst part about it is we're now going into rooms going, well, Lola, we're not playing anymore. Would you like some sweets? We've got some sweets here. Who wants a milkshake? Nothing.
Nothing.
That, for me, was the point where I was like, she's fucking gone.
Dave.
Someone's had her.
Dave is out the front of the house looking the most stressed I've ever seen a man look.
Yeah. We thought she'd gone. And we're out on the, like, he was out in the front because he was like, she's obviously got out.
But I was like,
and ran off.
She cannot have got out of that door.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She cannot have got out of that back door because we were sat right in front of it.
And there's literally no way she could have. That's why it went on for so long, because we knew it wasn't possible for her to have left, but she had to have left because she wasn't there.
Yeah.
And that was what was so scary about it.
And the thing was, the place where she was hiding in the end, we had all looked there.
Oh, we had
at
all been
least
in
twice.
Millions of times. It was like insane. So she'd heard us the whole time and just thought, nope, I'm sticking with it. I honestly, she's a psychopath. I told you she was the local psychopath. She's now the local psychopath of Shannon. Because where was she, Sinead?
She was under the bed in the spare room.
She was under the bed in the spare room. But she had
moved a box of, I think, Christmas decorations out. And then pulled it back around herself.
She'd surrounded herself with boxes that were under the bed so that no one could see her under the bed. And every single time we'd gone in to try and coax her out of it, absolutely silent.
I couldn't see her.
Couldn't see her. She hadn't spoke. She never came out. She didn't make a sound. I would have been like giggling my head off. Not a sound.
And then it was Martin in the end who I think moved the box slightly.
Yeah, he might have moved it and went, well, we'll just double check. And there she was.
The relief.
Oh my God. And then she came. Martin brought her out and I was like holding her. I was crying. And I was like, oh my God, Lola, don't do that.
It was this day because I had to switch the pasta off.
Oh yeah, because you burnt a pan because we spent so long looking for her that you burnt the dinner. That's how long she was gone. Because the hob was beeping at you as if to say, if you don't turn me off now, this house will be on fire. That's how long we were looking for her. And I was holding her and I was just going, Lola, please don't do that to me again. That was really scary. And the girls were going, oh my God, that was so stressful. And she was just looking at me.
Darcy at one point walked into the bathroom where I was looking in the cabinet under the sink. And Darcy was like, Mummy, I don't like this.
Don't like, yeah. She said that to me a few times as well. She was like, I don't like this, Rosie. I was like, no, neither do I, babe. I've lost one of my children. But when I was like holding her, Lola, and I was just going, oh God, I love you so much. And she just, I'm not kidding, her eyes were dead, just dead. And
glazed just, over.
Oh, like over and over, over. And she was like looking up at the sky, just going, I'm sorry. And it's like she knew she needed to say she was sorry, but she did not feel any sorrow.
No remorse.
No remorse at all. She was just going, I'm sorry. Like shrugging her shoulders, like, I'm sorry.
We were like, no more.
No more hide and seek.
No
ever.
More hide and seek ever.
This has now been an ongoing joke since we got back, where if like anyone mentions hide and seek, we're like, oh no, Ramona's like, no, we don't play hide and seek anymore. No, we're not playing that game. No, thank you. It's quite stressful, actually.
We don't play hide and seek in our family.
That's going to be an ongoing thing in years to come. They're going to, my girls are going to have kids and then they're going to play hide and seek and go, no, whoa.
No.
The Wells family don't play hide and seek.
No hide and seek.
Why not? Ask your Auntie Lola why we don't play hide and seek.
But I like, she's not even my kid, but the relief felt when we found her was insane.
I've never been that scared in my life. I think the only time I've been that scared is when I was in labour with Ramona. I think that's they're the two times I've been that scared in my life. Oh my God.
And then we put the children to bed quite shortly after that, fed them, put them to bed, and then we
drank.
Went outside for a holiday cigarette.
Yeah, we had a holiday cigarette and some little canned, I think we had some,
canned
we had wine,
Pornstar martinis.
Canned Pornstar martinis and a good old chat. Oh man, yeah, great. So next day, we've got to get through this. What's the next day?
We've already been going for 50 minutes.
Oh my God. Right, let's get through it. So the next day was the farm day. Oh,
the beach.
We went to the beach. So we went to some lovely beaches. We'll name them very quickly and then we'll mention the main thing about the beach day, which is the funniest, one of the, maybe the second funniest thing that happened in the holiday.
So we went to Quilty and then we went to Spanish Point and we finished up in the Hinch.
All of which are beautiful. It was the most beautiful drive in the world.
It was so hot.
So hot. Love, all the beaches are gorgeous. Completely different, but gorgeous. The drive there is stunning. I've told anyone who'll listen. I was telling like a couple that I sometimes see on my dog walk this morning how beautiful those beaches were. I was like, you've got to get yourself to Quilty and the Hinch because they're just the most beautiful beaches ever. And they're going, oh, yeah, 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 we love Ireland. And everyone that's been to Ireland is like, yeah, beautiful. So just go to fucking Ireland and go to the beaches. Stunning. But the second beach we went to, which was on Spanish Point.
Yes.
It's quite rocky, isn't it? But yeah. Then it's like beach at the bottom. So
my
like
granddad fell down all those rocks in Spanish Point once when I was
a
kid.
They are bad rocks, man.
Yeah, he like skinned all his nose.
Oh, Christ. Yeah.
But there's two stories of Spanish Point, isn't there? Because I decided
Oh, yes.
An important thing to know about me is if there is ocean, I will swim in it.
You will swim in it no matter what the temperature. So I don't understand it.
It was fucking freezing, yeah. But I could feel my batteries recharge. So I went down onto the beach to go for my swim while everyone was eating sausage rolls at the top of the beach. And Rosie could see me in the distance walking. By the way, I was wearing a bikini, which I don't often do.
You just went straight in, didn't you?
But I didn't realise how small the bikini was on my bum. So I essentially went swimming in Spanish Point in a thong bikini.
You did. I mean, I think it was fine. Everyone else was in like bikinis and stuff. It was hot enough, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was boiling. So I've gone in. I'm like floating on the water, having a swim. I look down. There are about 6 million jellyfish. It's all around me.
So we did see some jellyfish at the Quilty before, didn't we? And we sort of like, April had said, like, don't worry, most of them are like the non-poisonous ones and it's okay. But we were still a bit like, oh, they're jellyfish though. And then you were swimming in the sea, fully swimming in the sea, surrounded by jellyfish.
Surrounded by jellyfish. And that then started to panic and got myself out of the water as fast as I possibly could.
Yeah.
And when I got up to everyone else, I was like, hyperventilating.
And I just thought it was from the coldness of the sea. I was like, are you refreshed, babe? And you were like, no, I'm gonna have a panic attack.
There were so many jellyfish.
But you were okay, you didn't get caught. It was fine.
But then we stayed at the top of the beach.
We stayed to sit on the rock because I'm not going near the sea. If you'd like to know something about me, it's that I like to just sit in the sun and watch people getting in the sea. So we all stayed up top, didn't we, while the girls just played on the beach.
Yeah.
And then We saw something, didn't we?
Noticed something was going on.
Noticed something about our three girls. We know one of them's a psychopath, but we didn't realise all three of them were. And they were what seemed to be. So what it looked like from the top of the beach was that they had dug a mass grave
for jellyfish.
So they dug a massive hole in the sand.
You could just see them like doing relays, picking dead jellyfish up off the beach and
just popping
putting
them
in a hole.
Popping them in a massive hole. And we were like, my God, these children are insane.
And then Dave was like starting to get concerned, which, I mean, fair enough. Maybe he's the only sensible parent among us.
Because I was just like, fuck it, I'm sunbathing.
Dave was like, maybe I should go see what's going on. Me and Rosie were like, they're fine.
They're quiet and they're not near us.
Dave was like, they're running on some really slippy rocks and they could bash their heads open. Me and Rosie were like, they'll be fine.
They're learning independence.
Okay.
They'll be fine. So it turns out they're not psychopaths. Well, Lola's definitely a psychopath, but the other two aren't, thank God. So there was a boy who had been smacking the jellyfish with a spade.
Yes.
And so they weren't, in fact,
burying the jellyfish.
They were saving the jellyfish. So they took it upon themselves to be like jellyfish watch. And they were like, no, we're not going to have that from this horrible boy. So they were picking up the jellyfish to get them away from the boy, putting them in the hole to hide them from him.
Yes.
So they're not awful. They're actually doing a service and they were to gonna the jellyfish.
Wait in the jellyfish were going to wait in the hole till the tide came in and took then them all back saved. Out to sea, which I think is quite sweet.
I actually think that's lovely. Yeah. And so I'm so glad that we did find out that they're not evil, or at least two of them aren't.
Another thing I'd like to point out from our beach day was that me, Dave, and all the girls got sunburnt. But the funniest thing about this is we noticed Dave's head start to get red. So Rosie was like, oh, Dave, wear my hat. And Rosie had a pink hat on.
A lovely pink cap on.
So Dave put the cap on and then me and Rosie immediately started bullying Dave for the hat.
Because he did look ridiculous, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't see him the best.
So he was, oh no, because Dave was like, yeah, but the hat's pink.
That was it.
He was also wearing a pink t-shirt.
He was wearing a pink t-shirt. We're like, you chose to wear that t-shirt. What are you talking about?
So then I put the hat on and Rosie was like, oh no, that cap looks really good on you.
It does look really good on you.
And then
I stand by it.
We saw an unstable cliff sign and me and Rosie stood next to it to get a picture.
Yeah.
And I look ridiculous.
Well, we are quite dishevelled. We'd just come off a beach and it was quite windswept, but it did look like we were on day release. And we were all just stood next to a sign that says unstable cliffs, which we thought was really funny.
Yeah.
But you were wearing the cap in a kind of, I don't know, unusual way, shall we say.
I'm wearing the cap. My hair is like wild, billowing from underneath the cap.
Yeah, we didn't look great in that picture, but, you know, the cap helped you out. And Dave got a redhead. So, you know, there we are. So the beach day was gorgeous. Is that the same day that we went to the pub as well and we got lots of funny looks from the locals?
That was the day where we got those delicious fish and chip boxes.
Oh, yeah, of course. So that was at Spanish Point, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Gorgeous food. All of that day was great.
At the most beautiful hotel in the world, which used to be a workhouse.
Love that. It's so gorgeous and they've done such a good job with it, but also used to be a workhouse.
And then we went to La Hinch and got ice cream, which... So much ice cream for such a low price.
That ice cream is wild. So Ramona and Lola decided to get bubblegum flavoured ice cream, which was bright blue, like nuclear blue.
Yeah, that is not a blue that anyone should be ingesting into their body.
Well, it didn't, because we all stood around to look at Lola's poo the next day and it was blue. It was blue. Like we were literally all stood around going, holy shit, that's Lola's poo. It's actually blue. Properly blue. So yeah, that was fun.
We all had Mr. Whippy's. Delicious Mr. Whippy's.
I had a lovely tub of mint choc chip, which is my absolute favourite. It was gorgeous. That ice cream was
banging. When Darcy and Ramona had maybe one of their two rows on the trip where Darcy...
Oh, was it over a mussel shell as well?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. I was just like, guys.
Darcy aggressively pointed at Ramona.
Yeah. It was like...
She was like, you
stole my shell. And we were just like, girls.
And I was like, Darcy, don't ever point at Ramona.
That was really funny. That was really funny. So what I think we learned about the holiday is we definitely learned Darcy's limits in terms of being around other children.
Yes.
But she did... so fucking well. She did so well. And the incidents that did occur, I knew that there was moments where you were just like, I'm so sorry, Rosie. And I had to explain to you that, like, that's what my children are like with each other all of the time.
Yeah.
All of the time. There was like an incident with the sleeping together and you were like, I'm really sorry. Because Darcy was basically booting Ramona out of bed because she was breathing. Yeah. And I was like, mate, we have this every night. So I hope that you kind of came out of it going, that felt quite stressful, but it's nice to know that it's like, it's not Darcy being a dick.
Yeah.
It's just what kids are like with each other.
Yeah. And I think that
she did really well.
Yeah. I think that the interesting thing was, like, we really got to see how different they are, not just like different as children, but like as Darcy being an only child, as opposed to Ramona and Lola being siblings.
Yeah.
And like the different kind of relationship dynamics they had with each other. And
they did really well, to be fair.
Yeah. I think like Darcy isn't used to sharing her space with other kids 24/7. She's not used to like sharing my attention with other kids 24/7.
Yeah. And Ramona can't share with Lola and they live with each other. So it's no fucking wonder. Like Darcy did better than Ramona does most days. And she had a whole week of it.
Like she did do really well. I was really proud of her.
They did great. I think they were great. And also, I think for me, the most important thing is that, well, I don't know about Darcy, but Ramona and Lola are like, I want to do it again.
Yes.
They want that again. They want that to happen again. So the fact that they've come away and that's going to be like a core memory for them and it's something that they want to return to means they had a great time. That's all that matters, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and I think we realised as well while we were away that our parenting styles are very compatible.
So similar, yeah.
Like, really similar, really compatible with each other. Like, we're both quite happy to, like...
Well, let them play with jellyfish on a beach.
Let them play with jellyfish on a beach. But we're quite happy, like, I'm happy for you to tell Darcy what to do.
I think we've got the same morals.
Yes.
Haven't we? So, like, we're both quite... Wow, the moon is fucking incredible.
Oh my God. Look at that.
It's like bright orange and it's got a cloud going through it. It's massive.
Oh my God.
That is stunning.
Wow.
Beautiful. Sorry. We're both really hot on them being like polite.
And nice to each other.
And nice to each other and well-mannered. So we're both quite happy to be like, to the other each other's kid, like, come on now. That wasn't kind. Or don't say it like that. Make sure you say please. Or also the way that they act around sort of strangers in a public space. We're quite similar. And also what I loved the most for us is that we both lose our patience at exactly the same time. That made me feel... That was like so validating for me.
Yes.
Do you know on the last day when we were walking through the rain and you were losing it a bit because the rain was hitting your face and you were wearing a jumpsuit?
Yeah.
And you described that to me like you were sort of saying, sorry, it's a bit neurodiverse of me because this is stressing me out. It's the feeling of the rain on my skin with this particular fabric.
Yeah.
And like Dave had to sort of take the kids away because they were just in our faces.
Yeah.
And sort of walk off. And like for me, when you were describing that and I could tell you were really stressed out and you were at your limit, I was just like, thank fuck it's not just me.
Yes.
Because I felt this. I mean, the rain wasn't annoying me, but it's the same feeling.
The same feeling. Because you'd had it.
At the same time, we were like, nah, we are done.
Done. We're out.
Yeah. So that was quite like, I said that to Dave when I got back. I was like, I feel so validated as a parent because we hit our limits at exactly the same time, which means
It's not that you have like a short fuse.
Yeah. We both get overwhelmed in the same way and for the same reasons.
Yeah, for very similar reasons as well.
And it just means that our kids are just a bit annoying. So yeah, that was really nice. But yeah, Darcy did so well. I mean, honestly, if we go by like the behaviour of my children yesterday alone, fuck me, Darcy's an angel. So that was that day. That was the beach day. So then we need to do this very quickly. We've been yapping so long. It was such a good holiday. So the next day we went to a farm park.
We did. Europe's largest indoor bouncy castle.
Europe's largest indoor bouncy castle, which to me wasn't that big.
No.
It wasn't that big.
But the kids... Loved it.
And they had a great time.
Crucially,
yeah.
Adults weren't allowed on the bouncy castle.
Adults weren't allowed on the bouncy castle. That was great.
We had to sit in a little viewing room.
Which was brilliant. Yeah, a little viewing room where you couldn't see them at all because as soon as they'd gone through, they were gone. Yeah. The only time you saw them is when they were at the top of the massive fuck-off slide. And them sliding down it.
And all of the staff were... So the rule was that you weren't allowed to go on the bouncy castle if you were over 12.
Yeah, that was it.
So me and Rosie were like, if you turn 12 while you're on the bouncy castle, you're handed a t-shirt and you are staff. Because all the staff were so young.
They were so little and they were wearing these little fleeces with embroidered things on. We were like, you just got handed a fleece and you've just stuck here. Your parents went home and never came back.
Never came back.
I had a lovely moment on the park, so the outdoor park.
Yeah.
There was one of those swings that's like a big, like wobbly rope.
Yes.
That sort of swings forward and back, like a kind of pirate ship kind of situation. And I got on with Darcy and Ramona so I could swing them really high because I really like doing it. There's one in Blaby and I do it all the time. I stand on the back and just swing the fuck out of it. And then like loads of kids got on. So it was just me, Darcy and Ramona and then about 20 Irish kids all on this swing. And this older girl got on in front of me and I sort of stopped it to get them all on so I could get like, right, I stop it. Right, everyone on then. And then I started swinging it from the back and this girl turned around to me and she's just like, are you going to push it? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, is that okay? And she's like, oh my God, my mum would never do that. And I was just like, hair flick. And I was
cool,
like,
mum.
I got you, babe. I'll do the swinging. And it was great. That was a great swing. I really enjoyed that. It was a great park, great farm park, great bouncy castle. The only thing that I did remember from that is that Dave went to the toilet and he came back and he said... I'm
He went to the toilet and there was a news bulletin on that was just describing
rape and murder.
Rape and murder and sexual abuse. So he came out of the toilets a little bit shocked. And he was like, I just didn't think that would be something that they'd play at a kid's farm park. But here we are in Ireland. And as I noticed with everything, and we spoke about this with Uncle Martin quite often.
Undercurrent of sadness.
Undercurrent of sadness and grief throughout everything that ever
every
happens.
Single facet of
every
life.
Every single moment, anything that's happening, it doesn't matter how joyous it is. Ireland always seemed to find a way. I think the perfect example is the most beautiful hotel in the most beautiful location by the most gorgeous beach in Ireland used to be a workhouse. that sums up Ireland. So the last day, no, the last main day.
Yes.
We went to
Bunratty Castle and Folk Park.
Which is the most enjoyable experience of my life. I just
oh it's one
it.
Of my favorite places in the world. One thing that I remembered that I forgot to tell you while we were there is that actually that's where Martin and Fiona went to get their wedding photos taken.
Ah, it's so great because it's got everything. It's caters for the kids, it's so historic, like it's just so beautiful,
interesting
done. It's got like proper done up shops and buildings that you can go in, and there's people dressed up and people
playing violins. There's a school, there's a farm, there's a play area.
There's a school mistress who teaches you how to do hopscotch. There's an actual working pub there so you can have a pint. Oh, it's just stunning. And Bunratty Castle itself is so old and just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to speak to the boys of Bunratty, didn't we?
We did.
So they are TikTok famous boys.
TikTok famous boys. There is a wood smith.
They do
carpenter.
Like, they do carpentry and also
a blacksmith.
A blacksmith.
Not like, a woodsmith.
All that sort of thing. But they do it outside and they do like old, they make old stuff.
Yeah.
And they're really lovely.
Yeah. What like they are famous on TikTok and I watch their videos religiously.
They're lovely.
But I was speaking to them like I didn't know who they were. Because
we
I knew that if I, that a single slip of the tongue and I would be like, I'm in love with you.
Yeah.
Shall we have babies together?
Yeah. You're like, let's just pretend we've never seen these boys before ever. And we're just really interested in what they're making.
I'm just like, oh, so blacksmithing, how does that work?
Oh, maybe we should go out sometime. Ooh, you can tell me all about it. I mean, they are lovely boys.
They are lovely boys.
Lovely boys.
One of them, very slutty hoop earring.
He has got a slutty hoop earring.
Mm-hmm.
He does. Yes. I like the way on the videos he says, gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
That's not, yeah, I like that. And then afterwards we went to the famous Dirty Nellies for
Pints of Guinness.
I mean, I thought we were going to have a pint of Guinness, but then we met up with Uncle Martin and his girlfriend Jean and we had lots of Guinness because he just kept buying Guinness.
But oh, you know what we need to mention is that in Bunratty Folk Park there is a vintage carousel.
Oh, yeah.
Which we decided that we were going to go on.
Yes.
And Ramona executed the, I'm really sorry, Ramona, but the most hilarious fall I've ever seen.
She properly fell off that
carousel. She literally fell, bounced and rolled.
Rolled. And then just got back up.
Got back up.
And I think she was in so much shock that she didn't cry about it. And then she got on and she, we were like, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? She's like, yeah, fine. She was just like dazzled. But the best part about that is that Dave managed to get it on camera.
On camera.
So I'll make sure I put that in the Bunratty highlights reel for you all to see, because it was quite funny when we watched it back, because I didn't see it properly happen. She just disappeared and then looked down and she was like, and everyone's like, ooh, you know, like when someone falls over, and then I picked her up and I didn't see it, and then Dave showed it me and I was like, that was fucking brilliant. That was the best.
That was very
ever.
Funny actually.
That would get me £250 on You've Been Framed. Which I might still do. Yeah, that was funny. And then also when we went to Dirty Nellies for our Guinnesses, she did fall backwards and smash her head quite badly on
and
one
that
of the
was that, that wasn't funny. That was actually really horrible.
That was a bad one. Yeah, that was a bad smash. Yeah, so she was quite clumsy that day. I think she was probably just tired. But
and then I think Darcy made herself fall over.
Oh, so she could have a bit of a cuddle.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. Yeah, but like they do that, don't they? Lola does that all the time. And Ramona does it, actually. Because Lola always gets cuddles because she's always hurting herself. And then Ramona's like, ow! But the best part about that day was what happened after we left Dirty Nellies.
So we decided we were going to go for dinner at a restaurant across the road called The Creamery.
Now, let's be clear. We had a really great day at Bunratty Castle. It was amazing, but we were all knackered.
Knackered.
And we'd all hit our limits and we're all very hungry, very tired and quite stressed.
And me, you and Dave had 3 to 4 pints of Guinness.
3 to 4 pints of Guinness and a handful of sweets, and that's probably about it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were really at our limit. So we went over to this sort of restaurant pub and we sat outside. And
children were all playing on an old tractor.
They were playing on an old tractor in the garden, and it is the only time in my life that me and Dave have had like a cigarette. We had a roll up, like within sort of viewing distance of our children.
Yeah, it's the only I've ever done it with Darcy as well.
They'd never seen it because we don't really smoke. It's only like, you know, like you say when you
I'm on holiday.
I'm on holiday. Or if you've lost your child under a bed and you're quite stressed out of an evening when they've gone to sleep, you have a cigarette. We're not smokers, but like we're social smokers.
Yes.
And on that occasion, we were like, I need a fucking roll up and a burger.
I need to quote a message that you sent me the other day.
Which does sum it up, I think.
So we'd all reached that point, and it was just after Ramona falling backwards off the thing and smashing her head gate.
Yes.
And it'd been a long day.
We'd been a long day and we needed food.
So I sent Rosie a TikTok of it was a TikTok about people who smoke on holiday.
Oh, right. Who like act like they're, yeah, that's us.
Who are feral for it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Rosie's response was, that secret roll-up we had after Bunratty, because by that point I wouldn't have cared if the kids saw me injecting heroin.
It really felt like I was like, I don't give a shit. I don't care if they see me smoking a roll. I don't care, because it's going to be one time they come over and go, what's that? And I'll be like, it's a roll-up. Go and sit on the tractor. Fuck off. Just give me 5 minutes, please.
I'm just shooting up. Just give me a second.
And we just smoked. We had our roll up, and then
never eaten a burger so fast.
So fast. It's so, so fast. Like, we inhaled it, and then Uncle Martin and Jean showed up, and they were like, have you eaten? We were like, yes.
Yes. We've eaten.
We swallowed a burger in one sitting, like one bite. We unhinged
my jaw like a snake.
Oh, God. It was so funny. And then the day after that, we just had the morning, didn't we, really? We went to the lovely Gaelic football cafe for our lunch.
We did. That was lovely.
And then
love Irish soup.
Irish soup. Yeah, Irish soup. I had some Irish soup. Dave had the, what was it? The
bacon and cabbage.
Bacon and cabbage. That was really nice.
Great dinner.
The food in Ireland is incredible. The portion sizes are insane, but just delicious. Really lovely, hearty food. The bread and the butter is the best on the planet, and I'll hear nothing.
I'll hear no argument.
No one's going to sway me. That soda bread with the Kerrygold. Good Lord, it's the best. So the only other thing I want to say about the holiday is the one bit that you missed, because it was at the airport in Dublin, because we had to drive back to Dublin. And we got through to duty free, and I had to go. I promised Ramona I'd get her a present at the airport.
You promised her multiple times throughout the week.
That's all she fucking cares about. So because we all had hand luggage, I said to Dave, you stay here with Lola and I'll run Ramona over to the duty free and we'll get her a present and I'll come back. And we also needed some snacks because we hadn't eaten much. So we were like, we need to get some crisps or something. I got a massive bag of potatoes. They were great. But I think what happened was, because we were all knackered and I just wanted to get it done, none of us really explained to Lola properly what was going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll give her some credit here. I think she was just scared that we'd disappeared. I mean, you fucking deserved it after what you what you pulled with us.
Yeah, exactly. At Martin's. Now you know how it feels.
Exactly. It's quite scary, actually, isn't it? So they sat down, and then I took Ramona, and I bought her. I think I bought her a keyring and a little bracelet. And then I also made the mistake, Sinead. I didn't tell you this bit, did I? I bought her an Irish whistle.
Oh, you bought a tin whistle?
Tin whistle, yeah.
You're an idiot.
Yeah,
You're a stupid idiot.
I was tired. They'd been pushing my buttons and it was only €8. So at that point, I thought, less of two evils, let her have the thing she wants.
You're like, oh, shall I buy my unhappiness for the rest of time?
I made her promise she couldn't play it until we got back to Leicester. But we have now been back in Leicester for a few weeks now. So we're looking around for ages and I just let her sort of potter about and I was sort of like, just choose what you want. And I just thought, let her take her time. We've got ages because we get there so early. And then she chooses the tin whistle. We're like, fine. Standing in the queue, I get phone call from Dave. And he was like, Rosie, I need you to come back as soon as you can. And I was like, why? And he was like, Lola's gone fucking mental. And I was like, and he was like, I can't do it anymore. He was like, she has bitten me. She scratched me. My face is bleeding. She's gone completely feral and I don't know what to do and I can't move. And he was like, I could hear her screaming in the background. He was like, she won't stop screaming. People are staring. It's really, really bad. And so then I came back.
Ramona, get your tin whistle.
Get your tin whistle. Get back. And we had to run back. And she was just like howling. But by that point, she was at that. She'd got herself into such a state that she was just sort of doing that thing that they do. Oh. And Dave was just like.
Dave is profusely furious. bleeding from the face.
Bleeding from the face. He's got scratch marks on him. And it was just, I think it was because we'd just disappeared and she was knackered and hungry and scared. And I think that's what it was. But no one could do anything about it. Like, Dave just had to take it. And yeah. We got back as soon as we can. And I made her eat loads of crisps and I gave her a cuddle. And it was fine. But it was that phone call and she was just like, I'm bleeding from the face. I need you to come back. It was so bad. And I just got back and I was just looking around just thinking, these people must just think we're the worst family ever. But anyway, it was fine. It was fine. The journey back was fine. We got back very late, but it was okay.
So you and Dave left.
Yeah. Oh, and you stayed for another night, didn't you?
I stayed till we went home on Sunday. But after you and Dave left, I literally laid down on the couch and didn't move for about 4 hours.
Fair enough, mate.
It was lovely. Like, such a lovely holiday.
It was a lot.
But
though, it
was full on.
Yeah, it was. But I think, for them, it was really full on. They did really well, but they got some amazing memories.
Yes.
It was worth it. And I feel like if Martin wants us back, please let us back, Martin. Please, for the love of God, my children call you Uncle Martin, please. Then we'd be able to do those things, but like a more kind of like less sort of whistle stop way. It could be more relaxed and chilled out. We know what we're doing now. We can take our time with things and it not be as stressful.
You know what is really lovely as well is that what we did, if I hadn't gone with you, it would have been like me and Darcy or me, Darcy and April.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have got to experience that with her friends.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Same.
Which
for
is
them
why
as well.
I really appreciate that we were able to do it with you.
Oh God, yeah. And it did, even though it was super stressful. Any holiday with children is gonna be. It was so much more enjoyable going as a group.
Yes.
The same thing would have happened if we'd have gone just the four of us. They would have got sick of each other. We would have done all those same things, but it wouldn't have been exciting. It wouldn't have been as funny. It wouldn't have been as enjoyable for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Because even when we put the girls to bed in the evening and we would manage our 2 to 3 drinks outside.
Oh,
just me, you and Dave having chats in the garden was lovely as well.
Exactly. It's great. Wonderful.
Which, by the way, we are suspected in Shannon Town of being the mysterious tattooed thruple. I was in the bakery on my last day there.
Yes.
And the girl behind the counter at the bakery was like, oh, so where are the others then?
Wow. So they all knew.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's a small town. It's a small town.
Small town. Small town Shannon. Yeah.
And I think we did get quite a lot of double takes.
Yeah.
People trying to figure out what our deal was, aren't we?
We are an odd group. I think the six of us are like a weird, because we have got lots of tattoos,
which is I think way less common over there.
Oh yeah, definitely. Girls covered in tattoos, and we do dress a bit funny as well.
Yeah,
and the kids are like
feral and also dressed a bit funny.
Yeah, I think it's fair enough. I love the fact we got spotted on Spotted. I'm here for it. Okay, we have to wrap this up. Let's very quickly mention our loves and loathes of the week. What's your love of the week?
My love of the week is actually also Irish themed.
Okay.
It's an 11-piece all-female Irish trad group.
Yeah.
Called Bird. It's Bird spelt with two I's.
Yeah.
And I love traditional Irish music.
Yes.
They play instrumental traditional Irish music, but they also have a dancer, and they have it's kind of all different. So they've got fiddlers, a harpist,
a
banjo player, all sorts. But the really cool thing is they really curate their image as well. So they wear all Irish designers whenever they perform. And they're just great. They are phenomenally talented musicians.
Are they on Instagram?
They, I believe, are on Instagram. They're okay. definitely on TikTok. I think they're on Instagram as
you
well.
You have to find them.
They look really, really fucking cool. Mm-hmm. And they sound amazing.
They sound great. That's a good love of the week. My love of the week is Tate Modern's bookshop. Holy shit, it's the best bookshop in the world. If you like art books, my God, that shop is amazing.
I've actually never been to the Tate Modern.
Oh, it's just amazing. It's like, again, with London, like it's a free museum. It's fucking huge. It's got three shops, but the one that's got the main bookshop bit is just brilliant. Me and Ramona bought like a really cool like anime book.
I think the difference between me and you, Rosie, is that you are a Tate Modern girl I am a National
Portrait Gallery girl.
Yeah,
so true. Oh, I loved it. They'd like opened up some of the vaults as well, and they had like weird immersive kind of light shows and stuff in that. Love it. Bit of me. Love Tate Modern. The bookshop is incredible. What's your loathe of the week?
My loathe of the week is having a fucking cough.
Oh, no, me too, mate. Where's mine come from?
Just I had a constant, I literally now, so I had this cough while we were in Ireland and it's persisted and persisted and persisted.
Yeah, it's been really bad for you, hasn't it?
And I am like, and I've been feeling really, really rough, like so tired and just feeling like shit. And I'm only now starting to feel better.
It's mad, isn't it?
And I've been ill pretty much nonstop since like the end of June. And I'm fucking sick of it.
Done with your immune system.
Yeah.
Over it. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Look after yourself.
And I went to the doctors and the doctor was like...
Oh, yeah.
The doctor was like... we were talking about how ill I'd been. And he was like, oh, so have you been like taking it easy, getting lots of rest? And I was like, last week I was swimming in the freezing cold Atlantic Ocean and climbing up 5 billion steps in a 500-year-old castle. So No, I have not.
And didn't he just say, yeah, don't do that?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, I won't.
I won't do that again. Sorry. Brilliant. My loathe of the week is my children's infatuation with plastic bottles. Whenever we go to, so especially in London, we had to buy loads of plastic bottles because like it was so hot and we had one bottle for Ramona and then she'd drink it and we had to go and buy her juice, right?
Yeah.
But they both have, like if you go to like Greg's and you get a meal deal, you get like a Vimto bottle, they both want to keep them. And so then we have to refill it, even though we've got refillable water bottles at home, obviously, because, you know, we have loads of those. But then they want the plastic bottles and then they argue over the plastic bottles and they want to keep them until they're disgusting. And then you get another one next time you go to Greg's and they force you to get a bottle of Vimto. And we just seem to have like a million reusable bottles and then also loads of plastic bottles around the house. Some of them have their names written on them because they've argued over them so much that you have to sharpie their names on. And they're just like arguing over them constantly. And the other day I was just like, Dave, can we throw all these fucking bottles in the recycling, please? And he was like, yes. We're just like, where have they all come from? And they won't let us throw them away. They've got them hidden in bags and stuff because they want to keep them forever. And you're just like, it's a Vimto bottle. What's wrong with you?
That's insane.
Yeah, it's really annoying. And I don't know where it's come from. I don't know. My hoarding mentality is obviously like filtered down to them and plastic bottles.
That's what we need. What we need is like what they have in Ireland in Dunn's.
You get paid. Yeah, I'd be rich, Sinead.
That's how Rosie's going to make her millions.
Yeah, just recycling. But I'm going to move to Ireland and then be like, yeah, sure, get another Vimto bottle, mate, and then get my money back for it. Honestly. Anyway, that was our trip to Ireland.
We'll be back soon
with some more mum stuff, won't we?
Definitely.
I mean, that was all mum stuff because we were parents who took our kids on holiday.
We were.
And it was great.
And so I miss it so much.
Oh, God, I want to live there.
And you and Dave and the girls are just the most wonderful holiday partners.
We're the perfect group, aren't we?
We
work well as a holiday group, I think.
Yeah, like our personalities, our personalities are the same.
Our personalities are the same. And then Dave's sort of like...
Our
personalities are the same, Sinead. But like, usually when you sort of describe someone that's very similar to you, then they clash. But I don't get pissed off with you.
No.
At all. And I don't like... When you hit your limit, I'm not like, oh, God, for God's sake. And we hit our limits at the same time. But I think there's like, it's almost like camaraderie.
Yeah, yeah.
We both hit our limits. And instead of lashing out at each other, we're like, we're having a shit time together, aren't we?
Yeah.
And we just like, it helps, actually.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Great. Well done. Thank
you. Like, I can't actually think of a time that I've ever been pissed off with you.
I'm really pissed off with you right now, actually. No, I'm not joking. No, I can't, actually. We do all right, don't we?
We do. And I think Dave is like a great kind of balance.
Yeah, he
to, is. Because where we can maybe be a little bit arguably too laid back, Dave is like the one that's actually making sure the children
danger.
Aren't slipping on the rocks and smashing danger their heads time. Open.
But also we're quite over the top and dramatic and he's the opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like quietly looking after them to make sure they don't die, but then also like cancels out when we're being a bit too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So also good one, Dave. Thank
and
you.
The girls' personalities balance quite nicely as
I
well.
So.
I feel like Darcy maybe gets Ramona out of her shell a little bit.
I was just about to say that exact sentence. Yeah, she really does. She does, because like Ramona can be really, really shy. And when she's with Darcy, she's not shy at all. And I think it's really good for her. I think it makes her like go, oh yeah, we can just, do you know what I mean? It just makes her a normal kid.
Oh, you know, we haven't mentioned yet.
Who?
The dogs.
Oh, the dogs.
Martin has three dogs.
They're so cute.
Three wonderful dogs.
They're
called Tigger, James and Lux. Yeah, love of the year.
Love of the year are Uncle Martin and his three beautiful dogs.
Yeah.
Because they are great and my girls still talk about them now.
They are wonderful.
I love them. Okay, that's a good place to end, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Thanks, everyone. We'll be back soon with our lovely clear mics. Crispy, crispy. Yum,
crispy,
yum, yum.
Crispy. Give us a follow on Instagram at Amateur Milf Society because we will be posting lots more video and photo content of our wonderful trip.
Oh, we will be, yeah.
And we can't wait to share that with you. And we will be back
at some point
next week, fingers crossed,
probably.
With another episode about
something happening.
Okay, bye.